Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the PAION AG Q3 conference call hosted by Dr. Wolfgang Söhngen. My name is Steffi, and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I am now handing you over to Ralf Penner to begin today's conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your kind introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for PAION's earnings call on the financial results of the first nine months of 2014. My name is Ralf Penner. I'm PAION's Director of Investor Relations, and I'll be moderating today's call. I'm joined by Dr. Wolfgang Söhngen, PAION CEO, as well as Abdelghany Omari, our CFO. Within the next half hour, we are going to highlight some of the Q3 achievements, give details on the financial results, highlight the most important events, and provide a pipeline and strategy update and a financial outlook. After this initial presentation, we'll be happy to take your questions. I would like to point out that the slides for the presentation can be accessed by webcast in parallel to this conference call. The webcast details have been posted to the investor section of our website and were also given in today's press release. If you not have already opened the webcast link, you may want to do so now. This conference call is being recorded, and a replay will be available later today. The dial-in details to access the replay will be posted on our website too. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that today's call may include forward-looking statements and that actual results may vary from PAION's current anticipations. I would also like to refer to the disclaimer included in the presentation slides. After these initial remarks, I believe that we should now start right on with the presentation. Wolfgang, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ralf. Hello to everyone listening. I would like to start with the corporate overview. We are a specialty pharmaceutical company with a focus on anesthesia products. Our lead product is remimazolam, which is in phase III development and has significant market potential. We have six regional partnerships for remimazolam signed already. We're listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Our market capitalization is fluctuating around 120 million euro at this moment in time. We have a pretty good liquidity. We are very virtually organized with 19 FTEs, headquartered in Aachen, and we also have an office now in the U.S. and an office in Cambridge, and we have more than 60 million in cash and cash equivalents at hand in order to meet our goals. Next slide, please. We look back to a very successful year so far. It started with a successful completion of capital increase that then led to also further capital increases in the course of the year. We had very positive results from the phase II study reported in May. We signed another licensing agreement with our partner, Arpharm, for the MENA region. In July, we closed a major financing, signed an agreement with Pendopharm for Canada, and in addition, did a PIPE with Pendopharm. In September, we signed a licensing agreement with Yichang Human Well in China. In October, we had two very exciting meetings in the U.S. at the American Society of Anesthesiologists and the American College of Gastroenterology in the United States. We were presenting two scientific abstracts and were able to do some on-site face-to-face marketing evaluations. We have received very, very positive feedback. In addition, in October, we founded our U.S.-based subsidiary, and that will continue to fine-tune our market assessment of the U.S. We are glad to have Gregory Papers on board, who has an excellent track record in specialty pharma. He's the CEO of the subsidiary, and we are working closely together to move things ahead also in the U.S. Today, we have received owner's termination notice for the remazolam license for Japan, and the wording was strategic reasons considering issues in pharmacokinetic features, while no adverse events of concern were observed during clinical trials. Like in the analyst call that we held a couple of weeks ago, I would like to start, for those who are not familiar with anesthesia, with this simplified picture here. You see dolphins diving at different levels to the sea. The guy in the middle goes to depths that I would call snorkeling. So you could do this, that's a comparative depth. That's conscious sedation. If you then look at the next dolphin, he goes to the bottom of the sea, very deep, and that means as a human being you would require to have an oxygen tank with you. And the third guy is swimming at a certain depth for quite some time. You see it's symbolizing that he crosses the night, so it's more than 24 hours. And also that you can only manage as a human being with an oxygen tank, which in our situation is provided by the anesthesiologist. Ono and Pion have different opinions on the interpretation of some data of the trial. If you want, I would like to refer you to the analyst call that we had in October, which is in more detail. I only pick out two slides here, which are our conclusions. In principle, Pion believes that the first ICU sedation was a very valuable trial because it showed good efficacy and good safety. However, we assume that this trial also showed the ceiling dose, that means the maximum dose that one should employ in such a trial. Further, we conclude that the next trial should be dosed 5 to 10 times lower. We also think that patients need to be more titrated to effect with a different regime, which is what you do in anesthesia all the time. There is never a very stable, steady infusion rate. It's always adapted to how the patient does. Furthermore, the sedation profile was obscured by high doses of fentanyl. And we believe that short-acting opioids should be used in ICU sedation to facilitate rapid wake-up times. The elevated plasma levels in some patients cannot be explained by the set of experiments that we designed together and executed with Ono. We could not identify a reduction of enzyme activity. We also see no hint of inhibition through metabolites, self-inhibition through metabolites. And this has been consistent across a variety of preclinical tests. So the fact that in this first dose-finding study, we did not identify the ideal dose is a very frequent event in drug development. We ourselves took three studies in order to identify the ideal dosing for procedural sedation. So to confirm, we assume that the dose selected was too high and we need to dose significantly lower. And most importantly, we do not expect any spillover effect to the general anesthesia and procedural sedation programs because the ICU sedation data were part of the package for both the FDA and the EMEA. So what does it mean, remimazolam in Japan? Ono will transfer all know-how to Pion in due course. But I also would like to step back a second and honestly thank Ono for their contribution. We all have a very short memory, but I vividly remember the tsunami when Ono was in the midst of a trial. And despite the many problems that were faced in Japan, they kept course and delivered the data in more rapid time than we had anticipated. Of course, we don't like, but we have to accept and respect their decision because they have to manage their business in the best possible way from their perspective. And we now expect that A rapid know-how transfer will be initiated, and we plan to seek filing for Japan as soon as we have assessed and completed the existing parts of the dossier provided by Ono. We have already contacted Japanese CRO to accelerate to assess the gap that may be there for filing. And finally, we have already been contacted by several parties who are interested in the Japanese territory. We selected to have this topic first because today, of course, it was a major event that triggered a lot of attendance, and therefore, for those who do not have a long time, I wanted to give them the opportunity to listen to how we see that situation, and so that everyone can make their own assessment and take their own decisions. I would now like to hand over to Abdel for the financial overview. I think you have had a brief glimpse at the stock performance and the volume, which is quite satisfactory also in the current situation today. Abdel, please.
Thank you, Wolfgang. Good afternoon, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, now I would like to guide you through the financial key figures for the first 9 months of 2014, compared with the previous year, and also give an outlook for the full year 2014. Let me start with a short overview of the capital measures we have conducted this year. We have raised in total 61.4 million euros by issuing 25 million new shares. I would like to highlight that 0.4 million euros of the total amount of the private placement with PendoPharm in July is a premium of 10% to the share price. This premium is disclosed as revenues as it is attributable to the license grant for Remy Mazelan for Canada. Let me now continue with the P&L. Revenues amounted to 1.9 million euros, which is 0.4 million euros higher than the corresponding prior year period. The revenues mainly relate to the upfront payment from TR Pharm for the extension of the Remy Mazelan license to include the MENA region and to the aforementioned premium that was paid by PendoPharm in the course of the private placement in July. In the prior year period, revenues amounted to 1.5 million euros and related to a milestone payment from our Chinese partner Yichang Humanwell and an option agreement with Hana Pharm. Research and development expenses amounted to 6.9 million euros, which is an increase of 3.7 million euros compared to the first 9 months of 2013. The increase is due to more development activities with Remy Mazelan, in particular production development, phase 2 study we've conducted earlier this year, and the preparation of the phase 3 programs. General administrative and selling expenses amounted to 2.7 million euros and increased by 240,000 euros compared to the first 9 months of 2013. In total, we show a net loss of 6.3 million euros compared to a net loss of 3.5 million euros in the prior year period. The change is obviously mainly due to the higher R&D expenses in the current reporting period. This means earnings per share, basic and diluted, of minus 0.18 euros. Now I would like to move to the selected balance sheet items on the next slide. The non-current assets mainly comprise the development project Remy Mazelan with 3.5 million euros. Current assets increased by 50 million euros to now 64.4 million euros. The increase is mainly due to a 49.6 million euro increase in cash and cash equivalents, which was driven by the capital measures this year. Accordingly, the equity increased by 51.9 million euros and amounted to 65.2 million euros, also as a result of the capital increases conducted this year. As of the end of September 2014, the equity ratio was approximately 96%. Current liabilities amounted to 2.8 million euros, a decrease of 1.9 million euros, mainly because of a net tax payment of 2.1 million euros relating to the net income in 2012 from the sale of the spotter place to Lundbeck. On the next slide, I would like to give some information regarding cash flow and employees. Total cash flow was 49.6 million euros, of which minus 8.1 million euros was from operating activities and 57.6 million euros was from financing activities. The operating cash flow mainly results from the net loss and net tax payments and refunds of 1.5 million euros. Financing cash flow mainly results from the capital increases. At the end of September 2014, the total number of FTEs was 16, excluding management, and increased slightly during the first 9 months of 2014. And currently, we are further increasing the headcount. Finally, I would like to give an outlook for the full year 2014. For the rest of the year, we are concentrating on the preparation of the phase three programs. This means especially the continuation of regulatory interactions and site recruitment. Furthermore, we are working on production development for remimazolam, in particular the production of study medication and scale-up activities. We will also continue to initiate pre-marketing and market access activities. Finally, we expect our partners to continue the development activities with remimazolam, and also we expect Acorda to continue the development with GGF2. Now let me give you an update on expected revenues and costs on the next slide. Revenues for the full year will amount to 3.5 million euros, which is the 1.9 million euros already booked in the first 9 months, plus 1.6 million euro revenues from the M6G license agreement with Yichang Yunwei to be recognized as revenues in the fourth quarter. Now looking at costs, because of the investment into the development of remimazolam, R&D expenses will be higher than in the previous year. We expect a high single-digit million amount here. SG&A costs will be higher than in the previous year, especially because of pre-marketing activities and including the cost of our U.S. subsidiary. On the next slide, you can see that in total, we expect a significant net loss in the high single-digit to low double-digit million range. Regarding our liquidity, with cash of 62.9 million euros at the end of Q3, we are sufficiently funded to conduct the planned phase three programs in the US and EU, including filing process, and to initiate pre-marketing and market access activities. Finally, I would like to mention that owner's decision to give back the rights for remimazolam does not induce any repayment obligations for PIA. Thank you very much. Back to you, Wolfgang.
Well, thank you, Abdel, for the overview. I would like to just stop a second at the pipeline overview. Of course, PION is right now in the mind of many people just consisting of remimazolam, and this is also reflecting in our investment activities. In Japan, the general anesthesia indication has been developed, including phase three, according to the agreement between Ono and the Japanese authorities, and we have discussed what we have to do as a next step. General anesthesia and procedural sedation, we are preparing the initiation of phase three programs in both territories, and I will update a little bit later in the course of the presentation. And ICU sedation, again, was subject of the discussion with Ono. What I would like to mention, though, is that I was at BioEurope yesterday, and both remimazolam and also some of our sleeping beauties still create a lot of excitement, and this was very motivating for me to see the positive feedback that we have to PION in general, but also to our assets. Let me go to our crown jewel, remimazolam. It is an ultra-short acting anesthetic sedative that has a very unique design feature. This is why it's called a soft drug. It is cleaved by tissue esterases into an inactive metabolite and has a very stable and consistent short half-life, which allows better titratability of the depth of sedation with patients. We have very good market exclusivity, not only based on our patents on the salt, but also on the continuous work in the formulation. We have a very comprehensive preclinical package that has a very wide, that has shown a very wide therapeutic window. We have more than 900 patients, volunteers on drug, which and we have not seen any safety issues of concern. And altogether, this leads to our assumption that this drug has a very attractive peak sales potential. Now, let me come to the elevator pitch, because normally people say, well, anesthesia, if I talk to my anesthesiologist, there is no need. Everything is settled. We have propofol, we have midazolam, and that's usually what people then stop to think about anesthesia. On the other hand, if you have a closer look, it is well known and well described in the literature that the existing gold standards have significant issues. And our claim is that remimazolam represents the best of both worlds of propofol and midazolam by having their positive actions and activities and properties, which are different. It is as short as propofol and as safe as benzodiazepine. That's the whole description in a nutshell. And this is also the feedback that we have received at the recent congresses in the U.S. from both anesthesiologists and gastroenterologists. The next slide gives you an overview of the clinical trials that we have performed in the past, both the PION studies and the ONO trials. I do not go into further details because this can be read separately. Now let me repeat or explain why we have the view that the two different markets, U.S. and Europe, require a different strategy to optimize the potential of remimazolam. In the U.S., we have a very unique situation insofar as the cost of the anesthesiologist associated with the use of propofol is a highly political theme and is very intensive. And there is a need to reduce the cost for this procedure, because colonoscopy screening is the only means to prevent colon cancer, and so there is a need to screen as many patients as needed. Midazolam, on the other hand, doesn't provide sufficient throughput. This is why propofol is increased in use, and this is where we can offer an alternative. So I'm always asked, specifically in Europe, why is propofol needs to be given by an anesthesiologist, because my GI doc here, he gives me propofol, I have the procedure, I stand up and drive home. Well, in many cases this works, that's undisputed, but on the other hand, there are cases where patients go from pure sedation to deep anesthesia under propofol, and if then the physician is not trained to provide general anesthesia, the patient will be in trouble. On slide 27, we show what else we have to offer with remimazolam. Remimazolam, like the benzodiazepines, has a reversal agent. And let me explain this graph very briefly. So the purple line represents the sedation status of a patient that receives quite a hefty dose of remimazolam. At 5, which is at the top, this patient is wide awake, like we are all on this call. At 4, the level of 4, I would have to raise my voice to get the attention. And at level 3, I would have to add a physical touch to wake up the patient. And then, as it goes down, 0 and 1 means the patient has loss of consciousness. And you see here, these patients go down very quickly, within 2 minutes. They continue spontaneous breathing. And then after 3 minutes, where you see the red arrow, they receive the reversal agent. And within 2 minutes, they are back to normal. And if you then see, if you don't have such a reversal agent, although remimazolam is a very fast-acting drug like propofol, it takes about 5 to 7 minutes until the patient is back up to normal. So this would be the time that anyone would have to cover when a patient with propofol runs into problem. And that is where we have a very clear safety advantage. On slide 24 is the overview of the result of our phase 2B trial. We could show that we, given the labeled dose of midazolam, have a superior efficacy in providing sedation to patients undergoing a colonoscopy. Although this was a rather small trial, we could show superiority in efficacy. Based on this trials and the other work that we have done in parallel and also the work that was done by Ono, we had a very good meeting with the FDA at the end of last year, and our main aim of this meeting was to agree with the FDA that there is a chance to get the same label as midazolam, meaning we do not require an anesthesiologist to provide sedation in a colonoscopy situation. The FDA since then and PION have worked together on coming to an agreement on the program that's needed. And we are in the last stages of putting this in stone, so just writing this in stone. So we have agreed that we only need to do two trials. One is in colonoscopy, where we compare remimazolam versus placebo and also against midazolam, and a study in bronchoscopy, where we use the same approach. These studies are far advanced in preparations. Site selection for all of these studies is ongoing. Because of some of the design requests that the FDA had, we had to go back to sites in order to find the sites that are willing to follow the protocol that eventually is needed to get FDA approval. We also have agreed on a pediatric plan, which we will address after the completion of the phase 3 program. We are working with a CRO that also did the phase 2 trial, so we are confident that they deliver the same expedited results as they did in the past. We expect now the studies to start early in 2015 after we have reached final agreement with the FDA. And then we expect filing schedules at the beginning of 2016 at the earliest. I'm also frequently asked, so what does this total market look like? It is very difficult to get good numbers because this is a completely genericized market, and therefore numbers are not very reliable. The best that we could get are these numbers. So the total addressable remimazolam market in the U.S. is some $2.3 billion, and this consists of the intravenous anesthetics and the gas market, which we will also address in general anesthesia. On the next slide is an overview of the enormous increase of cost by using an anesthesiologist to provide sedation in colonoscopy. The assumption is that these costs would go up to several billions if this trend continues. What we have done in order to confirm our business case, we have done a very intensive diligence on how many patients are treated outside of the hospital. And the number is some 20 million patients, 70% of which are treated with midazolam and 30% of which are treated with propofol. This is to many people a surprise because the propofol use is so prominent and so much at the forefront of people. But we have to acknowledge that in a lot of states in the U.S., propofol is not being reimbursed by CMS, and therefore midazolam is being used. And this is our primary target in this market. So now let's turn to Europe. In Europe, we have a different reimbursement system, and conscious sedation like colonoscopies are mainly done in the hospital, where the anesthesiologist costs are not separately accounted for, and so therefore the same business case, the same pharmacoeconomic metrics does not apply. We have therefore, and based on the ONO data, focused on general anesthesia as a primary market, and we do not expect that remimazolam will be used in every patient, but we will focus on the patient population that has a medical need. And as we now understand, that most of the patients that are being operated on these days are patients above 60 years of age. So they all have their coexisting heart problems, their coexisting respiratory problems. And this is where remimazolam can show an improvement over propofol. And this has been shown in two independent trials. The first trial was the phase 3 study by Ono, where the primary endpoint was, of course, efficacy, which was met in almost 100% of the patients. And not unexpectedly, we could also show a significant reduction in events of severe blood pressure drops. You may ask, and you can sometimes ask an anesthesiologist, is this a problem? And the anesthesiologist usually will say, no, it's not a problem because I can manage it. But that does not mean that there is no long-lasting negative effect on the patient. And we have seen the same in the study in cardiac surgery patients where the physicians required a much higher dose or needed a much higher dose to keep the patient in a certain minimum level of blood pressure. And it is understood and known that these agents have long-lasting negative effects. So the mortality rate and the reinfarction rate in patients that receive higher doses of these agents are much more prone than those who do not. And here again, we could show that remimazolam looks like it is safer in these patients and will lead to potentially better future outcomes. The EU program is focused around cardiac surgery patients, and we have agreed in principle with the agency that this will consist of one trial, which again is thanks to ONO, because the ONO data will be accepted as the second pivotal trial. It will be a propofol-controlled trial, multicenter, in patients, again, undergoing cardiac surgery. Again, here we had a similar problem as in the U.S. because of the design changes by the agency. We had to go back and recruit different sites because the medical practice didn't match the wishes of the agency. But we expect that we come to final understanding with the EMA on the final study design, and therefore we will start the study in early 2014. Oh, here it says Q4 2014. Oh, sorry, I read 2015. So we accept that we have agreement by the end of this year. We start next year, early next year, and we expect filing as in the conscious sedation in 2016. Now, what are we doing for the rest of the year? Of course, the focus is on concluding the regulatory discussions on the phase 3 programs. We continue our production development and scale-up activities, which are going very successful so far. We also continue our interactions and support our partners in their own development activities and plans. And, of course, we now will have to explore an alternative filing strategy in Japan. In addition to that, we still need to build the team to responsibly being able to manage the overall process, and this is an ongoing process here at Pion. In addition, we will focus more and more also on pre-marketing activities. What are these pre-marketing activities? So it is continued market research, both in the EU and US. It is also important to establish relationships with key opinion leader and establish boards that support us in the trials, but also in the communication of the results of these trials in the future. And, of course, now we already need to plan where and how do we present our expected results towards the end of next year. So the proceeds that we raised in the course of this year are completely designated to complete the development program, including up to approval process in the U.S. and the EU with the current money in the described lead indications. We also can start to execute the pediatric plan, and we will use the dossiers, including that one of Ono, to seek global approval for both indications. And we will initiate ICU sedation as soon as possible because we see it as a very attractive part of this market. As soon as US and EU filing have been completed and our sufficient additional funding through partnering is available. And as I said before, it's a continuous fine-tuning and positioning process that we are entertaining in order to prepare the market. So what is ahead of us? Most importantly, finalizing the regulatory process for the phase 3 programs, both in the US and EU, initiate the know-how transfer and data transfer from Ono, and then early next year initiate the phase 3 programs both in the US and Europe, and towards 2016 filing. In summary, we think that over time we have significant feedback from the market that in anesthesia there is a medical need, and therefore physicians are willing to work with us and investors are willing to support PIONE in achieving approval. We will offer important clinical benefits and health economic advantages, which will make Remimazolam a very attractive program for payers. We expect to continue to see excellent efficacy and safety data in all three planned indications. And although Ono has returned the license, they have validated with their phase 3 data the program. And what we see is now a renewed also global investor interest, but also a renewed interest by globally operating pharma companies. The last slide is our vision that shows that in the area of anesthesia, if you think holistically, you can build a very attractive portfolio, which of course is hinging on the success of Remimazolam. Thank you very much. I would now like to hand back to Ralf.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang and Abdel, for your presentation. Now I would like to start the Q&A session, so please ask your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. And our first question comes from the line of Igor Kim from Close Brothers Seidler. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I have a few questions. The first one, you mentioned that you were contacted by several interested parties in Japan. So I just wanted to ask, was it several parties or was it just one company? Could you shed a bit more light in this regard? And the second question is, if you find a partner, another partner in Japan, how much time will it take until the filing will start for the Japanese market after the partnerships, in terms of months or any other timeline? And the third question is perhaps regarding Ono. What was the outstanding milestone from Ono? I know it has never been disclosed earlier, but given the circumstances, perhaps it could reveal this figure now. Thank you.
Let me start with the last questions. As by contract, we are not allowed to discuss outstanding milestones, but that brings me directly to your first questions. We expect that if we find a new partner in Japan, we can increase those numbers significantly compared to what we have today, because Ono licensed this in 2007, and we now have a fileable product for the Japanese market, which is a completely different situation. And I can confirm that we have been contacted by more than two parties. How long it will take to file or get to approval, we can only answer after we have assessed the current status of the Ono filing dossier, which we haven't seen. So this will be one of our next tasks, to sit together with Ono, have a very close look of exactly where they are, because, of course, we need help there. It will be primary done in Japanese language, so we This is why we have contacted a CRO who can support us in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And then perhaps another question is how things are progressing with partners in other regions. Do you expect any sales launch in the next year or probably also earliest in 2016? And did they contact you regarding the Ono case?
First, let me say that because we have raised the money to do the phase 3 program, we are focusing on executing this program with priority number one. With respect to partnering, we are in receptive mode, not in active chasing mode, so to say. But I can say, again, also coming back from BioEurope, that the interest in remimazolam is growing, and so that we get continuous requests, and we will execute something that makes sense for our shareholders.
Okay, thank you. And just the last follow-up. When this IP transfer will be completed, approximately, or you don't know this?
Which transfer? You mean IP transfer?
IP transfer from Ono to Bion. I mean, know-how and data transfer.
We received the termination letter tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have to sit down with Ono. I guess that's a 2-3 day meeting to go through everything, from production to IP to clinical status to dossier. Everything needs to be wrapped up, and when we have done that, we can give a better overview of how long this will take.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Just a reminder, please press star 1 on your keypad to ask a question. Just a final reminder, please press star 1 on your keypad to ask a question. And we do have a follow-up question from Igor Kim from Close Brothers Seidler. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking one follow-up. You said that if you find a new partner in Japan, the financial terms likely to be much better. You mean in terms of royalties, I guess. Just wanted to clarify again.
I would say in each aspect, in the milestone for approval and the royalties.
In each aspect, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I think, as Wolfgang just mentioned, Ono licensed remimazolam in 2007. It was preclinical, and now we have a ready-to-go project. I think that should also be reflected in the terms. Yeah.
Okay. So I think the last partnership was in Canada with 25% royalties. So you think it would be a valid benchmark or...
I appreciate that you want to have an answer making me fixing on this. I think you always have to balance a deal between the milestone payments, the upfront, and the royalties. But, of course, we will work very hard to get a royalty rate that is representative of the current state of the development. And this is usually above 15%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Jens Hassemeyer from First Berlin. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good afternoon, everybody. I have one question regarding the use of proceeds from the several capital increases and earlier this year. And is it possible to give a, let's say, rough estimation of how the liquid funds will be used for the single projects throughout the next 2 years? Thanks.
Yes, I think we gave a guidance when we collected the money. We said we need 35 to 45 million for the development of remimazolam in US and in Europe. So I think we can say now that it's fair to say that we will stay in that range. And how that will be spent, I think spending is starting to pick up already this year, but I would assume that a big chunk of it or a major part of it will be spent next year. And then certainly we will have also some parts spilling over into 2016 when we file, because that filing, cost for filing, was included in the estimate we gave. Does this answer your question?
Yeah, thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Thomas Schießler. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Here's Thomas Schießler. Coming back to UNO, and to put it in a nutshell, Dr. Zünken, in your from your point of view, the most recent development is value increasing for you, because you are heading for a new license agreement for the Japanese market with even more higher value of milestones and royalties. So there's no need to write down the UNO or the remezolam project with UNO. Is this correct?
Well, this is exactly our thinking. I mean, you can always look at a situation as the glass is half full or half empty. We rather see it as half full. And we do see that the owner work has created an enormous database, which is very valuable, and we want to monetize on that. And we are pretty confident that we can do this, but also to manage expectations. Even if someone says he's interested now, it will take 6 to 9 months before you have a signed license agreement. So please do not expect a new license for Japan in the first half, to be just very clear about that.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be very busy to make this happen, and you have to travel a lot to Japan to get things done.
Well, yes. I mean, the main traveling is to UNO in order to sit down face to face and really get a feeling where we are with the data. I think Pion is so attractive at this moment in time that we can also ask interested parties to come to Pion. So there's not a lot of traveling necessary to get engaged in discussions. And meetings like was yesterday at the Bio Europe. Two parties there wanted to talk about remezolam. So that's the way to go, and then I don't need to have a separate journey to Japan just to identify new licensing partners.
Okay, switching to the U.S. And your pre-marketing activities, how long will it take to prepare the production of the remezolam to what extent is this, or will that be done in the U.S. or in Europe?
First of all, the current production sites are with globally acting partners. Both of these sites are currently in Europe. For the launch phase, there is no need to have a second site, so it will stay in Europe. The upscaling process is part of our current exercise. So both for the API, this is the basic stuff that goes into the finished vial, and the finished formulation. And we see that this is a process that we can manage successfully. It's still development, so you have to do some fine-tuning. But we do see that we are ready for launch when it is needed.
So there is no need for an alternative technology to produce higher or bigger volumes and to keep costs under control. Upscaling is, so to speak, it's an easy upscaling process.
Well, we have discussed it with our producers, our market projections, which are ambitious, and they have confirmed that they can deliver on these market assessments.
Okay, and there is only one production company who is involved in this issue.
No, it's two. It's one for the API and one for the finished formulation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so far.
You're welcome.
Okay, there are no further questions coming through the telephone line, so I will hand you back to your host for any concluding remarks.
Thank you very much for all your questions you raised. And again, thank you for joining us for PAION's earnings call on the financial results of the first 9 months of 2014. I hope that we have been able to answer your questions, but please feel free to give me a call afterwards. If you would like to listen to this call again, please visit the investor section of our website where the MP3 recording details will be posted later. For now, I say goodbye and thank you very much for your continued interest in PAION.
Thank you for joining today's conference call. You may now replace your handsets.